Yes, hello everybody. I would like to welcome you on another question and answer session with Venerable Dhammajiva. We have agreed that the first today would go our yogis from Slovakia who need the translation, but I cannot see Lukáš yet. So that's why I suggest that if there are any online participants who would like to raise their hands or ask a question or report on their meditation practice, you are welcome to do it now.
Can you hear me?
Yes, Pante, we can hear you. Hello.
Good.
Ah, Lukáš is here. Okay. Ahoj, Luki.
Ahoj, ahoj. Prepáčte, ja som mal nejaké technické ťažkosti, ale už som tu.
Jasne, áno, jasne. Vieš čo, Lukáš, prosím ťa, dohodli sme sa tak, že najprv by šli títo naši spolumeditujúci, ktorí potrebujú tlmočenie. A potom dáme priestor pre tých ostatných. Takže tak, ako to včera Jaro urobil, oni povedia to tu, aby na kameru teda, aby ich videl prípadne Bande. A potom pôjdu dozadu do tej miestnosti. A potom, až keď bude priestor pre tie ostatné reporty, tak to bude dobre?
Dobre, dobre.
Okay, so Bande, we have agreed that first our Slovak yogis will report who need the translation. So first they will tell their report here, like in front of the camera, but then they will move to the other room where they will hear the translation of Lukáš, so that you know how it will be. And then when there is a room for other participants, then others will report. Okay, so I will, now Jaro is the first one.
Pozdravujem ctihodného. Za domácu úlohu sme mali pozorovať, kedy je moja myseľ všímavá, kedy je rozrušená. A ja som pozoroval, že moja myseľ je nielen všímavá a rozrušená, ale je aj taká by neprítomná a nerozhodná.
I could observe that my mind is not just mindless and distracted, but at the same time it's also undecisive and absent-minded.
Najviac času je asi tak približne polovicu času je asi nerozhodná a taká nerozhodná, taká neprítomná. Potom asi 40 alebo 35% je taká všímavá a do 10% je rozrušená.
So I observed that my mind for about 50% of time is indecisive and or absent-minded, and then for about 30% it is mindful, and then for about 10% it's disturbed.
Potom bolo taká ako na domácu úlohu, že teda čo je pre môj charakter jednoduchšie rozpoznávať všímavosť alebo rozrušenosť, tak to neviem to zatiaľ ako určiť čo.
So when you have asked us to observe whether we can see whether mind is mindful or distracted, I am not able to definitely see or recognize whether mind is mindful or distracted. So that's all.
Taktiež čo spôsobí tieto stavy jednotlivé, ktoré som spomenul, a to zatiaľ neviem tiež. Tej stavy, tej všímavosti, alebo v tej všímavosti ešte áno, že to je úsilie, hej. Keď vynaložím úsilie, tak to, čo spôsobí rozrušenosť, no tak nejaké myšlienky, ktoré prídu. Ale ešte definitívne ako neviem, že čo to spôsobí.
Also, I don't know what causes those states. I have observed that mindfulness is caused by effort. When I make an effort, attentive and then I'm mindful. But then distraction happens due to thoughts, following thoughts, following after thoughts. But I'm not sure. I'm not definitely sure.
No a ešte by som spomenul, čo sa týka meditácií, kde som vlastne tiež mohol pozorovať tú nerozhodnosť pri pozorovaní primárneho alebo sekundárneho objektu. Pri pozorovaní toho primárneho objektu sa nerozhodnosť sa tiež ako prejavuje pri meditácii v sede, že niekedy som taký nerozhodný, že či tá pozornosť bude na brúško alebo na vzduch pretekajúci cez nosohltan, kde je to také veľmi citlivé v tom mieste nosohltanu, ale veľmi jemné. A na tom brúšku je to také tam vnímam taký tlak. Tá nerozhodnosť sa tu prejavuje. Hej?
As for meditation, I observed this indecisiveness, whether concerning which is the primary object or what are the secondary objects. So I observed that when I observed the primary object, I was not sure whether I should focus on the rise and fall of the breath on the in the belly or whether the primary object is to be established as a flow of breath going through the nose. Where I had a kind of more subtle sensation of the flow of breath, but in my stomach with rise and fall, I experienced a kind of pressure. So that kind of indecisiveness manifested.
No, v meditácii chôdzi, tam ten primárny objekt, primárny objekt sú chodidla a sekundárny objekt sú všetky zvuky v prírode, to sú vtáky, šumenie vetra, lístia a žblnkotanie potoka, tak toto niekedy aj tak vedome, akoby preskakujem z toho primárneho na sekundárny a neruší ma to, ale je to také ako aj príjemné. Ja by som sa teraz ako poďakoval ctihodnému, a pôjdem počúvať odpoveď vedľa do miestnosti.
So in the walking meditation, the primary object is the touch of soles of the feet with the ground, and the secondary objects are all the sounds around, like chirping of the birds and all kind of sounds. And so sometimes I'm consciously shifting between those primary, the primary object and secondary objects, which is also sometimes nice, or I feel pleasant sensation while doing that. So thank you very much, Venerable, and I'm going to listen to your answer to the nearby room.
Yeah, that I can.
Room. Thank you.
I can understand about the walking meditation report. The shifting from touch of the feet to the sounds. So whenever mind is coming from the sound to the feet, how does he feel? What is your experience as to say, now I am not in the sound, but in the feet? So that kind of a clarity is not in the walking, sitting meditation, and he is not sure whether rising and falling or breath. The whatever may be prominent, that must be the primary object. And effort in this context is, you have to note in-breath, out-breath, or you have to note rising, falling. That noting will give a direction. 30% of mindfulness is fair enough, good. So therefore he has never discriminated, he has never given any a description about what is the experience of rising and falling, what is the experience of subtle breath, and what is the experience of foot touching. So that part must be included in the report, and noting at that stage will make the clarity. In foot, you have to note left leg, right leg, and in the rising and falling of the belly, rising and falling, or in the breath, in breath and out breath. That noting will give a clarity, and report will be juicy, sappy, rich, if he can experience, if he can add the experience, sensation, what he felt. Please translate.
Actually, Bhante Lukasz is translating it immediately to the yogi. They are listening in the other room, so they get the translation.
Good. Yes. So we can proceed.
Hi, Bhante. This is Zoltan. I would like to report on sitting meditation. Basically, it's the same as the last few days. The sitting meditation after a short while is very centered on the observations of the primary object of breathing in and out. Then it's the secondary objects are the sensations in the body. Mostly these are the pains or pains feelings, which are, as I explained, appear, for example, in leg or anywhere else in the body, and again disappear. And then there are also sensations of, I cannot really explain, of the energy in the center of the body. It's like stronger energy or lack of energy. Yeah, it's usually sensible in the area of the abdomen and below. One very interesting sensation is when I'm observing the pains and or the feelings in the lower body, in the legs and the sitting, that sometimes those are generating like energy, and which is going into the center of the body, and I can feel it in the abdomen, and and essentially I'm observing all these events in the body. My mind is very focused on these events, and rarely is distracted by external sounds or any other objects. If it's for whatever reason the sound is too strong and is distracted, it's not interested at all about the object, and it falls back to the body. So this is usually happening in a series of meditations. Sometimes it's better, sometimes it's worse, sometimes I'm not able to be mindful enough to observe the individual feelings of pain, and it's getting overwhelming. So in that case, the mind gets anxious or it's so unstable. Then usually the concentration a little bit on the feeling of the nostril of the income and in breath and out breath helps. So the mind again gets more stable in mindfulness. So it's like one time it's better, and the second time it's worse. So, but I noticed recently that my mind after sometimes during meditation and also after the meditation in the walking meditation starts to think about all these events or these experiences which I have during the sitting meditation, those pains which are appearing and disappearing, and all these things, and tries to explain all these experiences. So maybe my only question for today is that whether if it's okay when the meditation gets to a point when it's when I experience something which usually I do not experience in the usual life, then the mind starts to find some logical explanations and then goes again to the object and observes it and confronts the logic or the theory with the experience itself, whether is this is okay.
Yeah, there is no much difference as you mentioned, but whenever pains and the primary object happens, whether the details of pains available or not too much worry. But whenever breath or rising and falling primary object happens, try to see as detailed as possible. Pain you study whenever details are happening. You are not going to see them, you just observe when it were happening, but you must take little time whenever the primary object is manifesting, note it in breath out breath difference or whatever the way you take rising and falling method, and then it will give more chances for the noting mind to be close and longer time with the primary object. So don't worry about the distractions. Don't try to see details. Whenever primary object is face to face, try to see details. This is the way you have to give little facilitating. And I think walking meditation would do a better help than sitting under this situation. Therefore, try to have a walking effective or practical session and then try sitting meditation. That will be more successful.
Yeah, that's right. When I have a walking meditation before the sitting meditation for at least more than 45 minutes, then always the sitting meditation is better. So, yeah, thank you for the advice.
Welcome.
So, is there anybody from the online guests who would like to? I can see one chat. Okay, Jan is telling us that there are no email reports.
Shall I ask?
Yes, if there is a question from the online participants, now is the time.
Oh, is it okay? Yeah? Thank you, Bhante. My primary object of my meditation is, I've been focusing, is on the breath. And I sit on the cushion and I prepare my body and everything and be comfortable at first. And then I focus on the in and out of the breath. And I normally, if my mind is settled, I notice my mind naturally inclines towards the breath, and I'm at home, feel happy to be with the breath, and I'm comfortable and peaceful, and then I just let the breath be and see what happens. Of course, you know, there are times when after a while I notice my I go into thoughts, and that's and soon as I notice I'm aware I have a thought or something, I'm not with the primary object, I come back to the breath. I just sort of say the focus of my meditation is being with the breath and just come back. So that will go back and forth. So I normally don't have a problem if doing that in and out, coming back to the breath from if I'm away. But however, I notice like if I have a personal issue, like recently something that's bothering me, like within a family member that's let me down or something like that, then that emotion becomes prominent and my focus is not so much obviously on the primary object. So then I sort of say to as Bhante, I presume what my understanding is, I say, well, that is what it is. It's my emotion that's now prominent. So that's just come to my mind without my control. So I accept that's the way it is. So, but then I'm just wondering, it's mind made, that emotion is because I have expectation of that person, you know, to help and everything, the family, and I have been let down. And then it is my expectation that hasn't been fulfilled. So I am disappointed, or yeah, there's a self of me that I'm disappointed. So that tends to be the prominent issue in my meditation. So then I'm just wondering, when you have emotions like this, so after a while I can subside the emotion and say, well, it is what it is. I can't do anything about it. But at the moment, this is my meditation and I'm sitting on my cushion and I'm with my breath. And then after a while, I'm happy to be with my breath. And I'm in my own, my breath world, and then just let the breath, you know, focus, just focus on the breath and take it as it comes. And then naturally, I just get this sense of happiness to be with the breath, and I just let it continue. So is that emotion? Yeah. So I'm just thinking, so is that right? So the how I'm dealing with it, the emotions, should I just let it be and not pay attention? And then is it created the mind? So how should I proceed in when you have conflicting things like that, or should I not feel as if it's a conflict, or just get on with the meditation? Does that make sense, Bhante?
Yeah, it is. Your mind is no different. Everyone is the same. So whenever mind comes from the emotion to the breath, and the thought to the breath, and from the distraction to the breath, make sure the step. But how do you know that you are in a thought? And whenever you know what happened to the mind, and how do you know it came back to the breath? Likewise, you are not worrying about the thoughts or emotions. Instead, you try to see how is the way back home. And 2-3 times you will learn the art. Now you are more concerned about thoughts and disappointment, so then you are promoting it, you are fertilizing it. Instead, see the way back home from the thought or emotion to the breath. That's very interesting. That's the answer.
When you say it's interesting, how do you mean? Is it like I've now put the thoughts aside?
You are
aside
talking
and
about emotions. You are not talking about the primary object. Just spend your time to explain the primary object, how it come to the primary object, what is the difference between the in-breath and out-breath, all possible details of the primary object, so that less volume of your report is spent on the distractions. Just distraction to come and go, but see how it coming back, and what is the each time, how do you verify, and what are the details of the primary objects.
Yes, yeah. Okay. Thank you, Bhante. Thank you. That's very helpful. Thank you.
In the past, it usually was during retreats, it was not so long. So somehow I usually just somehow survived it or just went through it waiting until it ends. But because this time it really stays long, it seems that it's here to teach me something. So, and I start to appreciate it actually, because at the beginning it really seemed like to be a very flat experience compared to all the ups and downs of the beginning of the meditation. Now I start to see that actually it's very challenging, because still all the cycles and all the changes are there, but they are very less visible, not very obvious. Like when the mind is mindful and not mindful, is very slight difference between it. So when it's going like to the distraction, it's just like the focus is changing only a little bit. So, but also it's like the emotions are not so strong. It means like there is not such frustration when the mind is distracted, but also there is not so much joy when there is the mindfulness there. So it's a very it's becoming flat also in the terms of the emotions. So that's why it's more difficult to be clearly aware of what is really going on. So I have also used or practiced a little bit of standing meditation because I found it very helpful. The standing meditation for me is something between the sitting and the walking. So it's not so active as the walking meditation, but it's it's not so passive as the sitting. And I was just trying to consciously shift the main focus of attention between the souls, the in and out breath, or the distractions or whatever the mind was observing. I know it might not be purely vipassana because there was this conscious effort in changing the focus, but it was a very interesting exercise for the mind. It was I found it useful for the daily life to be able really to consciously shift the attention of the mind. So that was an interesting experience. And then also what I have noticed because of this inertia or the detachment, also these other cravings are lessened. And so actually this was happening before, but I would like to ask you because what would you say about it? At the beginning of every retreat, the mind still, there are some sensual pleasures, like the mind is searching for something. And very often, for example, the mind wants to have a cup of tea with milk, really just to enjoy it. And sometimes it's really not necessary. It's only to indulge, to enjoy. So when I notice it, I just notice that, it's just craving, and I don't go for the cup of the tea. But then let's say I go for a walking meditation or I do some yogi jobs, and then this craving sneaks in and suddenly I find myself making the cup of tea. So it's just like the wanting from maybe 2 or 3 hours before, even though I have noticed it and I have labeled it and I thought it's gone, but still it somehow influences the behavior. So now I really try to watch it really consciously, how where the craving is hiding before it's forcing me to really do some action. So yes, that's my report for today. Thank you.
Yeah, two remarks. One thing is, instead of suppressing, whenever you wanted to have a cup of tea, cup of coffee, oh, that may be not necessary, but for a change, just do it to see what the mind is doing, and let it know rather than you get involved all the time to go to suppress it. Occasionally, do it and see what is the thing. One thing. Second thing is, you think it is highly. The early part of your report, you say that the challenging nature. How can you cope up with? Emotions, how can you cope up with, related to mindfulness. But I would like to add one more variable, more almost like mindfulness. If you have preparedness, I am going to go to an emotion. I am going to go and challenge. I am going to go to have a cup of coffee, like that preparedness is give a much controlling power, much relax way. So therefore, mindfulness is one aspect. The other thing is the preparedness. So preparedness is the what we can often call as vigilance and the diligence. So whether you do bad thing or good thing, regret or happy, just see the preparedness, and that will change the personality. That will go very deep. So therefore, even though you are just listening to the body requirements or the mind games, do it, no problem, on the experimental ground, but go prepared. Then they become less inflicting rather than you go with unpreparedness. So this is how you do the experimenting noble quest within yourself.
Yes, exactly that. Yes, I feel like that. That was what I was reporting, that it's a little bit of experimenting. So I was not sure whether it's still Vipassana, whether it's still okay, because it's a little bit interfering or consciously choosing like where to focus. It's not like naturally letting it letting happens. But thank you. Yes, that's helpful.
That is called radical reflection. Carry on, please.
Mm-hmm. I just check whether there is anybody else trying. No.
Yes.
Hello, Bante. This is Gabi. I usually get very stressed about these reports, and I don't say everything I want. So I will try to cover everything today. So I have 3 points. The first one is. I would like to tell you about my experience in sitting meditation. Usually what happens in the sitting, as I do 1 hour sitting, it takes me about 40 minutes to really get relaxed and enter kind of meditation that is not just really finally on the object, so focusing on the in-breath, until it was so small that I felt like it's the whole action is taking place on in a ball of radius of like 4 millimeters, and I felt that I'm really focused. That was, this happened like 2 times in my sitting meditation. Sometimes in the sitting, I feel like there are more interesting objects that I could observe. So like pressure in my legs, or I had mucus. I was a bit sick a couple of days ago, and I have a lot of mucus. So sometimes it's more interesting to observe that, and I find myself be interested more in that than in the in-breath. I'm not sure if I should choose in the beginning that. Yes, I'm going to focus on the in-breath, even though there are some other sensations that are interesting for me. Or should I try to change the object of sitting meditation if I feel like it's more right? So, and the last thing I would like to ask is. It also happens in the sitting, also in the walking meditation, that whatever the object is, I feel like I can prolong my attention, but it's I can't go to much detail. So there is these two points of. Of observing the object. The first one is, should I be on the object as long as possible, or should I really go into detail and focus on details, even though I may get distracted more easily? Yeah, so I hope I said everything I wanted. Thank you so much.
Yeah, in the second situation, you try to explain was mind is balancing between the primary object and the other objects, and you have to understand where the mind become more diligent. If it is the secondary object, no harm. You can go to the secondary object and know that I am in a secondary object. Mind is mindful, and the primary object also at your eyesight, where if necessary you can go there. So this is sometimes giving more challenging, more diligent, more vigilance, So therefore you can play with them. And as far as details are concerned, it is generally it says go into the primary object with details. Secondary object, don't try to analyze it and go detail. Whenever you are in the secondary object, you know, attracted by the secondary object, do not analyze. But when and where you get the chance to come back to primary object, and may whenever you are make sure, you are sure that I am with the primary object, go detail as much as possible. And the very first situation you explain about you are sitting and 60 minutes about, and first 40 minutes you feel relaxed and kind of thing, then onward there was a distraction in our connection. So that area I did not hear. So you had to repeat, please, the early part of your report. Understand?
Yes, yes. So the first 40 minutes, I'm not so... I still have to get... It is not so deep. The meditation is still just... I have thoughts. Okay, I'm going back to the primary object. Then again, I find myself covered up in thoughts. Then I just come back. And that is going on for about 40 minutes. And after that, I feel happening some kind of flow. And finally, after these 40 minutes, I am relaxed. And then I can focus on the object more in a detailed way. And there were these two times when I was on the object and it was becoming still smaller and smaller and smaller. So the in-breath was still smaller and smaller.
So if it is so, it's okay. You can carry on because you can see the details and subtle become object becomes subtle and continue. But if you start with the good walking session, definitely you can go into that situation before 40 minutes. And that if the mind is more prepared, it won't take 40 minutes. Slowly, slowly, the early 40 minutes will be reduced. So that indicates how much your mind is in a meditative mood. So you may learn what are the facilities, what are the conducive situation for the mind to become come into the meditative mood. So therefore, do facilitate your walking sitting meditation with good walking meditation and see, please.
Okay, thank you very much, Bhante.
Welcome.
So, here our yogis, nobody else wants to report. So still there is a chance for the other online yogis.
Yes, please.
And if there are no other questions or reports from them, we still have some time. If it's possible, Bhante, I would like to ask you for some explanation regarding the Malunkya Putta Sutta, if it's okay now to ask.
Yes.
Because for each of the phenomena, there are mentioned like four modes. Like, for example, for the seeing, it's like that you have not seen, you did not see, you don't see now, and you think you might not ever see or something like that. And actually it's very intriguing to my mind, especially the first two. What is the difference between, I know the grammatical difference is the simple present or simple past and present perfect tense in English, but what is the meaning, like things that I have not seen and things I did not ever see? Like, there must be something important difference when it's repeated every time with each type of object. So possible to explain.
I think future and the past you can understand simply, but in the present you are looking and seeing two different aspects. You can look something, or even if you are not looking, seeing can happen. So therefore, that difference you have.
Yes, thank you. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Okay, that indicates the end of the session. As far as there are no other yogis,
Yes, that's right. So thank you very much, Bante, for
thank you,
replying
Claudia,
to our
Lucas,
questions.
And
see you. Bye-bye.
Bye.